Welcome to the Fantasy Amateurs and Boom or Bust NRL Fantasy Podcast collaboration for 2024. We've joined forces to bring you the best fantasy content with a rotation of fantasy experts and fantasy nuggets, reviewing the week and answering your NRL fantasy questions. Good evening and welcome to the Boom or Bust and NRL Fantasy Amateurs Collaboration Questions Podcast. Jeez, that's a mouthful. My name's Stuart Lord. I'm your host this evening, joined by Nick Lord, Stats Guru, Fantasy Nugget, Cam McInnes, and Jack DeBellin Lover. That's a sandwich. How are you going there, Nick?
What it do, baby? Going good, mate. Going good. I wouldn't say I'm a Cam McInnes lover, but I do see the argument to say he's not going to go backwards up.
Is he in your squad?
But I am a, yeah. But it's a risk-reward thing. It's not a recommendation to follow me into the dark.
Fair enough. And we've also got Billent from the NRL Fantasy Amateurs team. How are you going?
Very good. Very excited to get stuck into some of these questions. And I am definitely a Cam McInnes fan.
Excellent. Well, there we go, mate. Well, you can be one half the sandwich and Jack DeBellin can be the other and I'll put you both in the middle. Oh, there we go.
Sounds perfect.
It sounds like a fun night for all. All right, let's get cracking. So, look, let's start off with Ross Ritchie, who's asked us a few questions. So, Nick, this one might be for you. He's going, did you pay attention to what Connor Mulhausen did in the trials? Did he do a stint at middle or just cover hooker?
My understanding is he was just covering hooker.
Yeah. Now, look, Little's covering copped a bit of an injury, so he might get a few extra minutes from the first few weeks. But, yes, I didn't see him covering any middle minutes, right?
Yeah.
Excellent. And what do we think Viliami Fifita's minutes will be like? It's Ross Ritchie's second question. Billent, you got any idea about Viliami Fifita?
Oh, look, ironically, I was actually having a look morning at like 5 a.m., so half asleep sort of thing. And basically, we've just got no idea, right? New coach, no idea what the rotation's going to be. It's either he's probably going to play 25 to 30 minutes, I would say, max, or play even less, and JDB is going to play like 70 minutes. So I've no idea, really.
Yeah, and there's no chance, there's a good chance that he might be out in a couple of weeks once Luciano Leilua comes back in, which shuffles Tom Eisenhuth back.
Yeah, I think that'll be the case for sure.
Yeah, he's the man of the future. I'm not sure he's the guy at the moment, Ross. And last one is, who will Fifita replace when he's back? Will he replace Haas or Palacia in the starting squad for the Titans? Nick, any thoughts?
I would have thought replacing Haas.
Yeah, me too, mate. Yep, we got it there. All right, next one. Guy McFetrich, and sorry if I butcher the names tonight, guys, but, you know, I'm doing my best. Is Bostock the most secure fullback option up the Waz? I'll give this one to you, Billent.
Is he the most secure fullback?
Backup option.
Are we talking cheapies? Or?
Yeah. Yeah, I think what they're trying to say is with weeks gone, people are kind of hunting for that, like, emergency-style cover. Is Bostock the best option there?
I would say job security-wise, probably yes. But to be fair, I didn't really enjoy what I saw from him last year, so I wouldn't be expecting too much.
Yeah, I had a look there. His top score was 47, but a couple of teens-style scores. Yep. So, look, he is the most secure guy, because that's what you're asking. And I'll come back to your second question, Guy, because you're asking about the top four cashies for the round. I know a few people are asking us to rank them a bit later on, so I'll come back to that. Now, King Hill is asking us, possibly the worst question I've seen today, Lemu Elu versus Ford at second row forward. I think the answer is neither, right, boys?
Yep.
I wouldn't be going there.
That's it. And there's some weird thing about Dylan Lucas. Dylan Lucas is a second row forward, isn't he? He's got no dual anything. So there's a thing about Dylan Lucas versus Mulitalo at center. And I think this must be something weird for Supercoach. So, mate, wrong game. Next one. How many Raiders is too many Raiders, Wade Barr? So I'll take a gut check. Billent, how many Raiders is too many Raiders in your squad?
Well, I currently have three. I think at its peak, it was sitting around five. So it's just really ironic. And I think we get it every year that some of the worst NRL teams are actually the most fantasy relevant. So I'm not sure if that helps, but I would say somewhere, I would say if you got five, you're probably not in a good spot.
Yeah, that's right, Nick. That was my gut check, was five's probably too many. You agree, Nick?
Oh, absolutely. I think three's sort of the limit, right?
Yeah, definitely. Unless,
for example, if you've got like Strange, Fogarty and Levi, maybe go get Bostock instead of Cotric, you know, just something like that.
That's true. I think with the cheapies, you could possibly go to four. So if it was like Cotric, Levi, Strange, you know, that sort of thing there. But actually, no, that's still only three, isn't it? Yeah, I'd stick with three. That makes me happy. Okay, next question off the cab off the rank here, and I've lost my place. Here we are. Should I avoid Lussick because Hans is on the bench? Nick?
My gut says yes. I have to have a look.
Yeah, look, with Hans on the bench, even if he takes 15 minutes, Lussick at 65 is a little bit of variable. Like, what are you thinking there?
I had Lussick in my team, and I just told myself that if I was to look at a team list that had Hans on the bench, which, to be fair, I actually predicted that would happen, that Lussick would be out of my team, because I think there is a small amount of value, but you can definitely spend that kind of money better elsewhere with more value for sure.
That's it. So, Mr. Mitch B.
How many minutes are we thinking? 60, 65?
Let's go with 60.
I reckon 60.
So 60, he'll be around a 38, which is about 5 points of value.
Yeah, so not what we really wanted, right?
Not ideal.
No. So some value there. So the next question is from Dom Sullivan going, does Ricky hate fantasy? And mate, for once, I'm going to say he doesn't. He's actually given us Ethan Strange, who's probably a better player than Weeks. And at center half, which is an ugly position, it's actually opened up a whole bunch of builds for people. So, yeah, no, mate, I reckon he's done everyone a favor here. Plus, Danny Levi, we're doing pretty well here. Look, would Chevy Stewart have been the trifecta there? Sure, but we don't get him. We're talking about traps here, but again, this is cashy, so we'll come back to Sean's question of who's more trappy, Levi or Chan, because we're going to get to all the cheapies in a minute. Okay, Trent Gurdon asks, are you concerned about minutes for Helam Lukey? Belent, do you have Helam Lukey?
I do.
This is with Finny Fuaki on the bench.
Yeah, so I do have my reservations. It's just the fact that he looks like an absolute weapon. So I'm taking the punt. Well, I think it's an educated punt, and I'm doing it just because there's so much potential for upside there. I think 45 and 60 is definitely not beneath him at all, which should give us enough value or enough projected value anyway to take the kind of punt. So yeah, I'm pretty happy with Lukey in my team at the moment.
Yeah, me too. Is he still in your team, Nick?
No, he's gone. He's had to make way.
For Hosking?
No. Just the middles. That you reckon I got too many middles. So.
I do. You reckon you have too many middles, mate. You'll probably need to come back in there because you got too many middles. You got like seven. It's, dude, team's all out of whack.
Middles.
Well, it's because he doesn't have friggin' he cut Cleary, so he's got money for days.
Oh, yeah, right. All right.
Yeah, he's smoking the crack pipe up there. So he's like, it'll give us something to talk about on the pod. It's like, no, you can only say to your co-host that you're an idiot like once or twice a week, right? Okay.
Mate, I'll be called an idiot either way, right? So may as well.
That's true. Make your choices, mate. Joe K03 asks, is Chan worth the Storm worth picking up? Let's deal with Joe Chan now because so many of these questions are about Chan. So gut check, Nick, real quickly. Is Joe Chan in your squad?
He is, but I have I can get out of him if I pull in Cottridge because they're the same price. So that's what I'm waiting for, is to see if we get any more news prior to that Thursday game. So maybe we may or may not get the 24 update to see what happens with Chan before the Raiders game kicks off.
You won't. It's the exact same time for the start of the game, 8 p.m.
Well, what time does the 24 update come in? Is it literally 24 hours?
Literally 24 hours, 8 p.m. on the dot. Okay, so Nick hasn't thought this one through. Let's go to someone who might have. Belent, how you going there, mate? Is Joe Chan currently in your squad?
I got really excited when I saw him on the starting edge. So he was. And then I saw McDonald starting in New South Wales Cup, and I believe there's no sign of Sean Bloor there, so I've just got a funny feeling that there might be a little switcheroo closer to game time. So yeah, he is not in my team at the moment.
Yeah, I'm 50-50. I'm going to probably wait to the hour out things. I've just just trying to work it out as we speak here. So I might.
It's actually really annoying that the Raiders game is before the Storm game, because there's so many options to sort of pivot to, right?
There certainly are. And the issue is there's not many cheapies after this game either. So exactly. Really, the only other guy that's left who you can really pick up is either Bostock at 307, which is so.
That was my other exit plan. Bostock is my exit plan.
There we go. Okay. I'm glad you remembered. And the other guy is
Flanagan.
Yep. if you get another 100K, or Viliami Fifita if you absolutely need to take a punt. He's at 230K. That's it for the starting cheapies who play after the Storm game. Okay, so let's move on. So Joe Chan is currently not in my team, but if I see at the 1 hour list that he is still the starting guy, I will jump on, because if he does do a Burbo, gets himself like a 45-50, he will just rock it off, and it's just so painful to chase those guys because you got to do it next week or you just lose track. Now, let's get to a really great question from Jeffers Bill. Is Fogarty less of a buy with a halves partner like Strange, and could Strange potentially take the goal kicking? I don't know, Nick, whether you can look up whether Strange does any goal kicking in New South Wales Cup.
Yeah, I don't know. I've looked.
Excellent. But Belen, on your side, are you feeling less confident about Fogarty? Is he in your squad?
He's not in my squad. I actually wasn't really that bullish on him in the preseason either. He was floating in and out, but as soon as I saw some of Drew Hutchison's performances in the trials, I was pretty happy to just sort of fade Fog and bring Hutchison in. And yes, I am concerned. I would be concerned as a Fogarty owner with Strange partnering next to him, because I think he's going to take a fair amount of the general kicking meters off of him.
Fair enough. Okay, so, and we're having a look here. There's no goals from Strange in the New South Wales Cup, but I think he did kick some during the trial, which is possibly where Jeffers or Bill Jeffers is thinking there. So for me, yes, I certainly, once I had Strange in my squad, I wanted to, and possibly Levi, I did leverage out of Fogarty completely. Like, there was no chance he was coming into my squad.
Is there a round where Rapana goal kicks, or do we think that's just not? He's a horrible goal kicker anyway, so it's probably not going to happen.
He'd be the backup, probably him or Strange at this point. Yeah. But no, Fogarty's a decent goal kicker.
He is. Yeah.
Okay. Let's go. McInnes or Hopgoat from Marcus Spagnardi. Nick, gut check. Real quick one.
I think I would go McInnes just on the cash flow, because it's frees up an extra like 130K or so, doesn't it?
It does. Same for me. 130K plus you'll probably get 5 points with McInnes, I reckon. You'll get 0 points with Hopgood unless someone gets injured. Now, if someone gets injured like Matto or RCG, Hopgood has probably got 10 points worth of value, but until then, probably none, I think. Okay, so Holland 2802 asked, do you still get unlimited trades for round 1B? Yes, you can bring in whoever you want to your squad. James Maltovic asks, can Trindle and Hines combine in the halves to challenge top four teams? Belent, gut check for you.
No, sorry. I'm not sold at all.
How about you, Nick? Do you reckon that the Sharks are going to topple some top four sides this year?
Yeah, I think I was talking to Mum about this today. I think they'll be in between like 10 and 7, you know? But no, so not top four.
Yeah. Look, I reckon they might be up around there because their draw is pretty soft. They don't play many top four teams very often. But for me, yeah, I'm not super keen on the Sharks haven't changed enough to show that they're beating those top sides. So, you know, unless they've done something radically off season, I just don't see it this year. Okay. So we've got another question is it worth downgrading an expensive center like Penasini, RTS, or Sully for Strange? Belen?
Depending on what you can do with the rest of your team, I think yes, considering that center is probably the most, points wise, it's the most volatile position. So, yep, I can definitely advocate for that move.
Yeah, me too. I made the cut. So I've now got Karaz and Strange as my starting centers.
Oh, no RTS.
I got him in draft, mate, so my itch got scratched.
As long as you have him.
I have him somewhere, and I got Haas, so I'm out of cash for RTS. Okay, next question is complete fitness coaching with a K. Is this one's for you, Nick. At centre, would you run Burbo, Chris, and Strange?
Not all of them.
Just like low to the ground, so you spend the cash basically everywhere else apart from centre.
I think you could be short some weeks with a change or so. Like if Weeks goes and Burbo goes to the bench, then you're just stuck with Chris, who isn't a great scorer. So I think it's smart to get a mid-ranger, whether that's Sully, Tessini, Karaz, Tessini. You just get some sort of guy that has some sort of job security. Cause,
well, in that case, not Tessini.
None of those three guys really have any. Well, I don't know. Depends where Tessini sits in your mind. I don't really have much of a feel on Tessini. But yeah, I just don't think you can run all three of those. I think that's a bit too empty, to be honest.
Excellent. I like that one. Okay. Justin Barry is asking, is Levi a buy? So let's get to this one. Is Levi a buy, Belent?
I reckon he is. I feel kind of dirty for bringing him in, considering the amount of slagging off I've given him over the last few years. But he's in my team at the moment, so I don't see why not.
That's it, Nick. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I've joined. I'm a believer.
Yeah, me too. I reckon there is some value there. And because there's some value there, because they just, for whatever reason, Starling could possibly be the elite fantasy hooker if they get him to play long minutes, but they're not interested as a squad. I reckon he'd do really well behind that big pack too if he played 55, 60 each week. They absolutely refuse. Okay, Steve Robertson asks a very good question. Jacob Carraz scores at centre a decent. Can we look into him? Nick?
Mate, this is your one. You take us away.
Yeah, that's fine. Look, I have Jacob Carraz. He averages 47 at centre. It's only off a limited 8-game sample size, but he has absolutely no chill. He reminds me of a young Jack Bird, just as far as the junk, tackle bus king, the occasional offload. The only downside is that he will get less running because the side is better. Like, they will give Steve Crichton some more ball. There's a little bit of worry about Carraz, but the fact that he's now got the DPP just makes him pretty valuable for me. Is he in your side, Belen?
No, he's not. I can't squeeze him in, but I'll tell you what, if I could, he'd be in there in a New York minute. Yeah, I'm a big fan, especially with that DPP, like you said.
Yeah.
And everything else you mentioned, all that side, yeah, he's like Jack Bird, right? All the sideways running, the junk TBs. He actually loves an offload. I remember owning him not last year, but the year before. And yeah, he just used to offload. He's always looking for an offload, you know? I actually personally don't think there's much downside there. In fact, I might even just try and squeeze him in.
Oh, mate, you should, if nothing else for your overall players out there, ladies and gentlemen, he plays around 13, which we love. He plays around 16, which is always the ugly one, against the Roosters, who will be short. So round 13 is against Newcastle, so that they might be close to full strength. But just having a look at that, the only major buy round that he misses is 19. So for me, I like him a lot. Awesome. Let's keep on going. So Jacob Carraz. So we've talked Isaac Chater. We've talked about Lussick, which is no, don't get him. Dread Muffin asks, is it okay to just start Strange and Burbo with no backup and centres? I think we just talked about that and basically said, no, go get yourself a little bit of cover, dude.
But round two, there is Justin Olam available and he represents a little bit of value potentially. So
that's true. You've got to have a pathway to get him though, right? But he's saying no backup in centers, dreaded muffin.
Yeah, I don't rate it, no.
That's dumb. Okay. Woolmore hires and take minutes of Little, Dallas Crook is asking.
Yeah.
He will. And Little's busted, right?
Is he? I don't know.
He's got the
injury thing on him, but I don't know what's wrong.
Scans show that Little picked up a low-grade hamstring injury, looking to play round one, but it means that he'll be undercooked, essentially. He's coming hamstring. Back in off. That's it. Off a guy's had both knees done. I'm concerned, Dallas Crook. I would not go get him. So out of the hookers that you can still get, right? I don't know about you guys. Let's talk about that real quick. Obviously, Grant is the tier one guy, but out of the rest, I've really only got Appian Levi that I'm interested in. How about you, Nick?
I don't really like the hookers this year, to be honest. I like Robson and the fact of the games played.
I did miss him. Spot,
but that's pretty much it. I don't see too much value outside of Levi, to be honest, out of the guys left. That really has a really safe minutes rotation. Everyone else seems to have a bit of flux in them, which I'm not a big fan of.
That's true. Belent, who are your hookers, mate?
So, like everyone else, I've got Cheese. But I've actually got Appy. Just because I've brought Levi in as my backup. Well, I don't really need it for this round, obviously, because G's already played. But I'm just assuming that if Appy is goal-kicking, we're all assuming that, right?
Yes.
That he's going to be playing the bulk of the minutes. So I'm quite happy with taking the hit for this round. And, yeah, I'm actually quite excited to have Appy on my team.
That's true. I'll actually have to watch the West Tigers and not, like, switch off the TV. Oh, man.
He does like missing 10 tackles a game on occasion as well, which is a bit shitty. But yeah, hopefully he sort of gets out of that mode.
Oh, they should be better this year. Like I think it was a big learning experience for a few guys to join last year of being in the side that's bad. So hopefully they're better. Connor O'Kane asks, where does Scott Sorensen go? He's got a leg injury, mate. So, and unfortunately, the Panthers are reticent about leg injuries, like the one that kept out Tago. He was a week-to-week proposition for about 5 weeks last year. So I would say that the way they're talking about, mate, it could be a number of things. It could be a foot injury. It could be something else entirely. But the fact that he missed the World Cup challenge and he's missing round one says that it's pretty serious because he's now been missing for a number of weeks, like a significant number of weeks. So just avoid. Frizy asks, Seb Chris or Kyle Flanagan? I'm guessing it's just coverage on the bench. Belent, what are you thinking?
Oh, that's That's pretty hard. I'd probably just, I would probably have to go for Flanagan just because we know that he's playing. I don't know if Chris is going to go walk straight back into the team. Are we all assuming that that's going to happen? Or I've seen a few people with Chris in their team now.
Yeah, look, Chris, I think is to A, to loop Burbo in, and B, I do think he is. I think my concern is that if it's more if he takes Rapana's role round two, but and just walks in at fullback. But I guess we'll see, right?
I'll go Flanagan.
Yeah, me too. Just in case, because Chris at fullback is correctly priced. All right. So Alex Hoyotis goes says thanks to Mark and the guys at the amateurs for the efforts during the preseason. Sorry for this long winded thinking one of these options. Or he has Cleary, Strange, Burbo, Turbo, Brennan. Okay, hold on. Just thanks. Essentially, he can go Moses, McInnes, and New, or Fogarty, New, and Grant. So both of them are new. So it's Moses and McInnes or Fogarty and Grant Belent.
Oh, my gut feel would be Moses and McInnes.
Yeah, that's mine too.
I don't know how Fogarty's going to score. I think a lot of people are assuming that he's going to be scoring mid-50s, but I reckon it's probably towards the lower end of 50 myself, which is probably about 5 to 7 points less than Moses. I'm not sure if we all agree on that, but yeah, I would probably head towards Moses and McInnes myself.
Yeah, me too. Nick, how about you?
I'm just trying to think what else you could buy. Could you get Jack DeBellin and McInnes?
You can for that price because Moses is about the price. Mate. He doesn't need more mids. He's trying to spread out his cash. He wants a half. He's got Cleary.
I don't know. Shove Hutchinson in there or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, if you do chuck Hutcho in, mate, which you've got on your bench and you play him and you start him, you could go, and this is the one that I like, McInnes Grant.
Mm. Yeah, that's, I don't hate that. Yeah.
Easy. Yeah, that's good.
And then put Flanagan as your cover half. Problem solved. Excellent. The Bearded Man asks Hosking and Lussick, no, or Grant and Viliami Fifita, also no. So the Bearded Man has two terrible choices. Out of these terrible choices, which one would you choose, Nick? Or would you go try something else?
Maybe Hosking and Levi, potentially. I'd lean that way. Oh, he's looking for a starting hooker, it looks like, hey.
He does. And it looks like by the price of Grant and Viliami Fifita, he's got about $1 million to spend. Because Grant plus Viliami Fifita takes him to just a bit over $1 million flat.
Yeah, so you could look at Robson and then some sort of other 350-ish K sort of guy, you know what I mean?
Yep.
There's not really much around.
That's it. Yep. I like that. Robson and Seafarth or Appy and Levi.
Yep.
You could do there. So, but look, Robson and Seafarth is probably the safest one as far as I think that you get 35 points from Seafarth, sort of 35, and you'll get probably 45 to 55 from Robson, depending on the week. Say Smiles is saying he wants to go Penis. So he had in his original team Aitken and Lussick, and he wants to go to Penasini and Strange. 120K in the bank. What are your thoughts, Berlin?
Don't see any issues with that at all. I think it's a good move.
Yep. That's the same for me. I'll probably have Carras slightly over Penasini, but he's also got less job security. I can't see Penasini losing his job. They're absolutely hurting over there. So it's probably pretty safe. Joe Chan, a must only if he starts, mate. This is from Pez D. It's the next one. Cam O'Dwyer says, admit it, it's Joe Chan time. Wheels up. Cam, wait till 1 hour out. Next one, this James Shepherd is asking a really good question. Nick, how likely is it Rapana keeps the fullback spot?
I think it's pretty likely, to be honest. If obviously Savage isn't going to be playing there, so he's further down the depth chart, and then Chevy Stewart, they'll give a few weeks in reserve grade and maybe bring him on when games become less meaningful for them.
Yeah. He did not look
reps
good
under his belt.
He did not look great in the trials. He just looks small, like not even perhaps so he might be small and quick, just small. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he went up 2 grades last year, and sometimes just that last jump might just take a little bit out of you, I reckon, Nick.
Mate, this is a question for Matty Lepai at Sinman, you know.
That's true. All right. So let's go ask you this one, Belent. Mark Odgy asks, full forward bench for the Sharks, are we worried about McInnes?
I'm not. I actually read somewhere that he might be playing some dummy half minutes as well. Was I just imagining, or did anyone see that?
I've seen it. I'm not sure I believe it because Brayley's played 4 years straight, 80-minute hooker. But it does make sense from an attacking standpoint that they could consider it because if nothing else, they have looked like Brayley's not necessarily being creative, right? But maybe that's because he's got to conserve himself to play 80 minutes each week.
Yeah, I mean, it could be. But, like, yeah, I'm not really too concerned. I still think he's going to play 65 minutes myself, so I'm not too worried.
65, wow. Okay, fair enough. Well, look, if he plays 65, he's certainly by there. And, look, even at 50, you won't lose money, which is all you're doing with those expensive middle forwards. So Ben Vecchio, Nick, has the money to upgrade Cotter to McInnes. Should he do it?
Oh, get both. Come on, Ben.
Yeah, work out another way, dude. Cotter's probably could score near McInnes if he gets similar minutes. They're both very similar type of players.
Yeah.
Actually, now that I think about it, they're very similar type of players. It's just that McInnes has possibly the slightly better PPM. Next question from the Cashos is asking, would it be better to start McInnes now or wait to the buy and grab him if he's killing it then? Billent, what are you thinking?
Well, I might not actually... It might not hurt to wait and see, I guess. When's the Sharks buy? Is it round 6 or round 7 from memory? I can't remember.
Looking up now.
5, I think.
Was it 5, was it?
Yes.
Was it
6? Okay, looking up now. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Riveting stuff here. 5. Round 5.
I mean, I don't think it'd hurt to wait and see. I'm just so bullish on him that I'm on him now. But, yeah, I can definitely see a world where waiting and seeing is definitely a possibility or even a positivity.
Yeah. Look, if I didn't spend all my money, I would certainly be on him. But, look, the fact is that they got some very interesting games up front. So they play the Warriors, which isn't great. But then the next three is Bulldogs, Tigers, Canberra. So before their bye. So they could turn up. This is almost making me rip my team apart to get Nico, looking at that, I'll be honest with you. But Cam McInnes, it could be that, like, against Canberra, they'll play through the middle. In fact, all these teams will want to try, but I don't know. I probably start with Cam McInnes. If you think that he's value, go get him up front, right?
Yep.
Excellent. The Rev 33 goes, asks thoughts on Palacia. I thought this was a great question, as he is the starting lock. I know we talked about it a little bit last night, Nick, but have you had any more thoughts about it? Do you reckon there's a bit of money in Palacia?
Sorry, I wasn't, didn't put my head on the pillow last night and think about Keenan Palacia any further.
393K, 29 break even, starting lock. He's basically Alex Seafarth, only plays for the Gold Coast Titans. Belent, have you had any thoughts about him?
Yeah, for all of about 5 to 10 minutes, and then I think his PPM is pretty trash, right? So I'm not really too sure. I think you can do better for players that are similarly priced myself.
The only thing is, if you want to take a punt on him and he's absolute trash, you can punt him for Alex Seafarth next round and get a guy who's probably also pretty similar PPM.
Yeah.
Well, you could just wait the one game because they got the bye round too. So don't
that's
bother.
True.
Just wait one other game.
That's true.
That is very true. All right. We have another person asking Joe Chan season. We've talked about him. Jane Shepherd asks again, can you explain the Chris hype? So that's a great when you go back to fullback. I don't think he's going to go to fullback. I think he will be playing center by the look of the current squad. The bigger concern I have is who wins that wing spot, whether it's Albert Hopoade or Nick Kotrick, because Kotrick is vital to most people's sides for just that coverage. So Seb Chris, the reason is because he averages higher at center than he does at fullback. But I'll be completely honest with you, he had a very high try scoring rate that particular year, playing outside a decent half. So he won't be getting that super type of service this year. So look, I do not currently have Seb Chris. Do any of us have Seb Chris, Nick?
Nope.
No, Belen?
I don't even think I've had him once in my team.
Yeah. I had him for a while as like that DPP cover, but I'll be honest with you, I'd probably find another 30 grand and find Tessie new now, because now that he's got the DPP. Josh Rank.
Is Seb Chris 380K?
395.
Oh, yuck.
Yeah, it's a bit rough, but especially now we got Strange. So the next thing, Josh Rank 32, this one's definitely for Nick. Is Jack Bellin playing 70, 80 minutes for that bench? I know we talked about last night on the Boom Bust podcast, but what are you thinking?
I'm thinking 70, and I think that could flex up to 80. I wouldn't be surprised with 80, but I'd budget around 70. So
excellent. And his floor is like 60, right? Like,
bench. If he's at 60 minutes, I'll be shocked.
No, but I'm saying like on the occasional wink, he might get 60, but it's like that would be his floor in this.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I think it's 65 to 80.
I like it. Yes. So Josh Rank, if you like Jack DeBellin, I have certainly got no objections. He was great star for me last year. Okay, Res 158. Belent, he has 538K for a player since Luxix is gone. So essentially he's got 538K. It sounds like a bit of a free flex player because he probably chucked in Levi. Who would you get?
If it wasn't position dependent, I'm just thinking off the top of my head here. It's probably going to be an outside back, and it'd probably be Jordan Rapana.
I like it. It's as long as it doesn't take you over that critical mass of three Raiders. I like it. Although I've just looked at my team again, I have four. Strange Rapana, Kotrick, and Levi. So I might need to bounce Kotrick out of my squad, which actually makes me feel a little bit happier in my soul. All right, next question is, Nick, who would you start, Chan Salmon or Sam Hughes?
I'm going with the smoked salmon, mate.
Yeah, me too. He's in my 17. How about you, Blunt?
Yep, exactly the same, salmon.
Excellent. Okay, this is from Ants22. G'day, boys. Long-time listener, first-time questioner. Would the same rule apply to Appy week one as buying a player on a buy, a.k.a. what happens if you get injured at training? And if he tears his gooch ligament in training, avoid if so. Jeez, Red Dog's horny. Ants22. I don't even know how to answer that. Mate, I guess, look, yes, you can, buying Appy on the buy is a slight risk, but, you know, he seems a pretty durable guy. He's not Adam Reynolds.
Yeah, what are the odds of doing your gooch ligament? And also, what is a gooch ligament?
I'm not sure that you want to look that up, especially if you're working on like a work PC right now, dude. So,
good point.
Okay. Alex B. Pace asked a question, which I'll answer this one because I did it. He's got Berber and 18th man. He's not keen on Chris. Is it worth taking Appy for the loop option instead? That is exactly what I've done, Alex. So Berber is my 18th man and I am taking Appy. So yes, I reckon that's a real good one. Casey Goldsboro asks, Appy plus McInnes with 154k in the bank or Grant plus Taumalolo with 210k in the bank? Nick?
Option one, Appy and McInnes.
It's not even close.
I was going to say the exact same thing. Option one, and it's not even close.
Yeah, dude, just flipping Appy plus McInnes, man. He's in favour to hold off McInnes till after the bye, killing three and some Justin for some other stuff up. Yeah, dude, just get McInnes. Like, he's a stud. It just, for fantasy, it's not killing, but it just fit, hungry. Now he's the captain. Yeah. Josh Rank or 32 also has swap Fogarty for Tanner Boyd as hooker cover. No, I cannot see a universe where I want Tanner Boyd in my squad at his current price. Anyone object to that?
No.
From solved. Okay. Next is from Rees158. Why are you so high on Lukey? Statistically, he doesn't look the best. 3 below 20 scores in 50 to 60 minute games. Balint is currently in your squad. Why are you still keen on Lukey even if he occasionally gets the sub 20?
Oh, it's just, he's got massive attacking upside. Like, he's just a specimen. He looks really, really special. He actually looks very similar to Nene from, was it 2 or 3 years ago when he just went absolutely nuts? I just think there's too much potential upside there to just not have him in your team. So like I said before, I'm pretty happy with him in my team at the moment.
Fair enough. And look, mate, I'm looking at those sub 20 scores. So for you, because he does have a few bad scores here. It is certain to be said. So I will go through these one by one for you. Rees 158. So we have the game against the Roosters, which is round 10 last year, where they just lost pretty badly. He ran for 46 meters that game, made 25 tackles, but they're just getting towed up that game. And he wasn't fit. He hadn't played since round 5. So he was just out of breath. So the following week, he got an 84 against the Dragons. So we can see what he can do. Round 12 versus the Tigers were where they were massacred by the Tigers. I don't think any Cowboys scored well that game, right, guys? Like in that 66 to 18 thrashing that they received. And then round 16 versus the Panthers. A, the Panthers are fantasy death, well known, especially against attacking players. B, he copped the facial fracture that week. So he wouldn't be seen again until round like 26 in the starting side. So that would be why he had some bad games last year. As long as he doesn't break his face, I reckon he's going to make us some decent coin and get up to around that 600K mark, 650. Next one, is Turbo going to be a must-have next week? Balint, like, I don't know how much of the game you watched, but he looked pretty good.
He did look pretty good. I guess it depends on who your other wing fullback is, because I'm assuming it'll be Pap and a cheapie, right? If you don't have Ponga, I'm guessing. So, yeah.
I guess the question is, like, would you just say buy someone this week, like Paps, and instead of getting, like, Ponga, you could get, like, a Bostock and then have cash to bring in Turbo next week? I guess is what they're looking at there.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a round where you could do that. He did look very good. He looked strong. He looked fit. I remember seeing him last year as well. He sort of looked a bit concerned, right? So some of those hit-ups that he was taking as well, but he looked very confident. He's obviously, he's got, he plays predominantly down the left-hand side from memory in attack. Yes. And I mean, he's got his brother right next to him as well, right? So that can only bode well for the both of them. So yeah, I can definitely see a round where that's a move for sure.
Yep. Nick, he's in your side. Would you recommend people join you?
No, because it's my secret and no one else gets to have him. So grabbed him in draft too. I'm really stoked about that.
He actually looked really good. 55 with no tries, flipping amazing.
Yep.
In all seriousness, the amount of half chances he created under the high ball through the middle, it was just crazy. Like, he could have had like 60 to 70 points in that first half alone if some of those half chances were converted. So yeah, he was insane.
I want you to listen to something, guys, right? So, okay, he kicked, which was nice to see. He got a point there. But essentially, so we got two offloads to hands, two offloads to grounds. We have three tackle breaks. He only made five tackles a game, two line break assists, one line break, one try assist. If he goes on a proper run there, he's off to the races.
That sounds like his floor from 2021.
Yeah, it's kind of gross, isn't it?
Which is scary.
Yeah. So look, they do have the Roosters and then Parramatta the next 2 weeks, but then these, and then the Dragons and then Penrith. So I reckon that he could go that St. George game. He could blow out pretty quickly. You're making me think now, mate. Next one. Any interest? Dan Chapman asked, any interest in Palaceo? I think we said that, which is probably not. By Spence asked, thoughts on Taylor May gets DPP for a great team. I think, unfortunately, he is just priced out because he's still priced at that 2021 price, or sorry, 22 price of 600K. So even if he's got DPP, I'd go and get RTS, right, Berlin?
Yep. I want RTS so bad. I just can't do it. I can't get him. It's just, I'm so excited to have him back. Oh my God. Yeah. I wish I could get him. If I could, I would, but yep, I'll be saving up pennies.
That's it. Oh, look, it's one of those ones. I'm just saying, for 20 grand, I would go get RTS over Taylor May, and I'm a Panthers fan. Next one. Morgan Jones asks, and Nick, I'll ask you this one, mate, the man with the seven middles. Is Hopgood, Murray, Cotter mid overloading?
Oh, man. I'd honestly get out of Hopgood and get into the Jack DeBellum business or the Cam McInnes business because, Cotter's got the upside. Murray potentially has got that upside.
Murray's too late. He's already got him, obviously. So you're saying instead of Hopgood, Cotter, you would go, what, Jack DeBellum, McInnes?
No. I'm saying I'd just get out of Hopgood. And I'd go get Jack DeBellin or McInnes, one of those other two guys. Save a bit of money, spend it elsewhere. I think those other guys have the same sort of, they're priced at their floors just like Hopgood is, if that makes sense. And their upside appears higher than Hopgood's based upon the current circumstances.
That's true. I like it. Okay. Vinny Shoesmith asked, thoughts on the following players. Is Cleese Haas? Well, mate, he's only got until about round five, so no for me. Chris Randall. Now, I had a look at Chris Randall last night, but the big news about him is basically averaged about 38 in 55 to 60. So it's just no money for him. He just played those huge minutes in the middle last year, so unfortunately he's priced out. Sorry, Vinny. Gus Bro, this one's for you, Belen. The Strange ruin Fogarty. I think we've answered that one already.
Yep. But,
and does Finifuaki ruin Lukey? I think you answered that one before. The answer was probably not.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Excellent. Connor Hayes asks, is Foggy still a go? And the answer is yes, he's still a go. Still a little bit of value, but I'm not getting it. Sean Doyle. He is a good one. This one I'll give you blank, because the last two I just kind of said, hey there, can you just repeat what you said before? Give your thoughts about Tohu. Looks like he's a big minute role with the bench the way that it is.
Is that, we're talking Tohu Harris, are we?
Yeah. Yep. As opposed to, I don't know, Tohu Holmes. no. Yeah. I'm guessing, mate.
I just don't think he's as relevant as what he was. Last year it probably wasn't. The year before he was. The year before that he definitely was. And I don't actually know if he's going to play that the big minute role anymore either, because I don't think he has to. We've just got a plethora of middle options. I wouldn't be surprised if his ceiling minutes wise this year is around 65. He is busted as well. So
is he still busted? Do you reckon a fluff season would have helped him?
Yeah, he's busted. He's busted. He's not as He's not busted, but yeah, he's Karen Nichols.
Like Dale Finucane busted, you know, like
yeah, exactly, exactly.
Creaky.
Yeah, exactly. Like he's still going to do a job, but yeah, I'll be very, very surprised myself if he's playing consistently over 65 minutes a week.
Excellent. Awesome. Let's keep on going down the list then. Testing you. So Anthony Heikal asks, testing you at 0.5% ownership. Play two games at center for an average of 47. Surely an option. So he scored 46 and 48, which is even better as an option. Nick, I know you were sort of not fussed either way. How about you, Belen?
He's actually on my team.
There we go. Okay, why is he in your team?
In the center, like obviously there is a bit of job security queries there, but if he stays at center, I can't have over 40 for sure. There's definitely some value. DPP is real handy as well, so yeah, that's why I've got him in my team.
I like it.
I think he's super classy. Like eye test wise, testing is a lot of fun to watch. He's just a bit small for mine. To really get those junk tackle breaks, you know.
Is he small? I reckon he looks quite big.
Oh, like short. Like he's chunky.
Oh, right. Yeah, gotcha.
A bit like, How is a Panthers fan, am I not remembering the winger's name?
Brian Toto.
There we go. Thank you.
He's a bit like Toto, but obviously not Toto. So he's like 5'10". So he's not like huge palming people off, you know.
Fair enough. More like a running back.
He shed 8 kilos though. So he could be super agile. Just having a look here. ESPN wrote an article on Tessie New. There you go. Ooh,
wow. Now he's a lock on my team.
Excellent. There we go. I must say, I think Val lost that in about 1 week though. So if we're talking about weight loss here, which was very impressive actually. They had him running up and down the hill, apparently down at Burley. So Simon Jones asks, is Flegler a good option? If not, then who else, since he's missed out on Haas and Murray? Well, I think we talked about the fact that the best probable options are Cotter, Jack DeBellin and McInnes from our side of the remaining more expensive middles. But I guess gut check Flegler, Belen?
Oh, I'm not too sure, to be honest. Pretty 50-50. Oh, actually, when did I have Flegler? It might have been not last year, but the year before. I had him for all of about 3 weeks, and it was one of the most frustrating 3 weeks of my life. So, it was a ride, I tell you. I'm going to say no.
Mm, yeah, no, I'm dodging Flegler. I think just the PPM and the bench hurts him. And yep. I think Nick, we agreed on that last night, right?
Yeah, it just doesn't look like it's going to turn out for us, unfortunately.
Fair enough. Callum Johnson asked a long question, but I'm pretty sure it does. Should he loop Burbo, Strange and New and spread the cash, or should he go and get Pennacini? Nick, should he get New or should he spend up for Pennacini?
I'm just trying to understand it. So he wants to get Burbo in the loop. For who, though? Who's he going to get to create the loop?
I'm not sure. So I'm thinking that's one of those ones where it's really, when you break it down, it's either Burbo, Strange and Pennacini or Burbo, Strange and New.
So really the choice is Rapana or Pennacini, right?
Yeah.
I'd go Rapana.
Yeah, risk are good to take round one. What about you, Blint?
I'd probably lean towards Rapana as well myself. Just probably more opportunity to score at the back. I think he does quite well at fullback as well from memory. So, I'd go for Rapana. He's cheaper as well, right?
He is by about 100K.
Yeah, go Rapana.
Excellent. James Mark Keeley basically goes roll the dice. McInnes, yeah, I think we've said yes. How many changes made from original team? I know I've made about 100. I think we all have. So just roll with it, dude. Jamie Saunders asked thoughts on Cham. We've done that. But thought Palace, we talked about that. But then he asked about Poasa Famasuli at the Bulldogs starting middle. So look, I think I had a quick look at him the other day. The answer is that we really don't have a huge amount of things on his 300K starting middle though, Nick. Any interest in your squad?
Nope.
Why not? Like 50K more than Hughes, you get a guy who's starting.
Yeah, but he keeps bouncing around from team to team. Mm-hmm. Like, I just don't think there's any job security. He might be gone next week.
Well, I don't even know if his price has ever gone above 300K, to be honest, has he?
I think that's true.
I'm not 309K he was in 2020, dude, for one game.
Oh, well, I was wrong, sorry.
Yeah, dude, I don't know how you could be so wrong. Yeah, actually, you're right. I'm he might be setting a record, man, because he's got like 30 appearances since 2018. He had like maybe a three game run where he got above it and then dropped back down again.
Yeah, I swear to God, every year he starts at 250K.
I remember when the Dragons got him and I was like, oh yeah, out of the Roosters system, he'll be awesome. And then Whelan goes, oh, okay, he can't be.
That's true. I think the Dogs are just hurting. So
yeah, but the point is, you know, he's probably a great player, but not really fantasy relevant, and obviously struggling to lock down a role at lesser teams. So yeah, I don't know.
I'm bringing up the games for his played more than 40 minutes. He's played 3.
I was going to say, I can't see him getting more than 25 minutes. I think that's probably about his average, right?
I think of the Dogs, I think he will get a few more, but that's just because of how light their bench is. They are just so strapped. I think they had Taihiako down for huge minutes this year, and then he failed that medical, and they're just like, damn. So I reckon that, as dumb as it sounds, Max King is a smoky to be one of the risers of the season in the middle, because they just don't have anyone else. And Farmasuli might get 35, but I'm not sure he's that good at 0.81. I'm not sure there's money there, right? 35 at 0.81 is what, 28? No.
Yeah, not worth it.
Nope. Okay. Mark Hughes says, I know trial form shouldn't get us excited. No, there's no value, but he's rejoined the Cardi party in 2024. Okay, I'll take that as a comment, dude. Well done. Because, you know, there's no way to respond to that. You know, if you just buy him, that's great. Rich Martin asks about how to strange effect Fogarty, which we've already answered. Adam Middleton is asking, I think we've said this before, is running Strange, Berber and Chris an okay strategy? I think we've all come back and said no. Spend a little bit more than Chris. Get a guy who's going to play a bit more consistently, like a new or a little bit more again to a Karaz.
Shout out Adam.
Yep. Hey, Adam. Nathan Bright wheels up Cotter and Taumalolo. Nick?
Maybe not Lolo. Definitely Cotter, but Lolo's, he plays the first 15 rounds, I suppose. That's pretty much it.
Yep, won't play Origin. How about you, Balint? Has he been in any of your builds?
Nah, I just can't build a case room, hey?
Even with Hess gone?
Say again?
Even with Hess out?
Yeah, nah. I'm quite happy to just fade him.
Excellent, me too. Jack Lamb says, what's happening to Lussick and Hands? Well, we think we talked about that, which Lussick will probably get 60. If Lussick does start to get 80, we'll have another look. Morgan Jones says, Kotrick and Levi for 5 Raiders. So he's got Strange, Chris Frog, Kotrick and Levi. I think we said, like, 3, maybe max 4. So probably 3. Matthew Lippiet Sidman, who was spoken to be, just said you can go get all 5, but I don't know, he's a Raiders fan, so he probably doesn't mind. Adam Middleton asked us, you know, go. Yes, we've asked for that. So just, we're almost there. Here we go. Jamie Mark Healy is the first one asked, is Hosking worth a shot, Nick?
Yeah, I think he is worth a look. Just picked him up in draft today, so I'm stoked about that. Thank you. But in classic, I am racking my brain trying to decide which of my middles I want to cut to bring him in, because obviously the upside, and he can make some short-term cash, so even with 3 or 4 games, you know.
He's no chill. He's one of the few edges that can relatively easily pump out a 50-plus, you know, and push it towards a 60-plus relatively easily.
And if he goes all right.
Whilst doing nothing as well.
Just tackling basics. He just does basics.
Yep.
Like the anti-David Fifita.
Yeah, and he'll have to do plenty of tackling on a dud team.
That's true. Sorry, MLS. Sorry, mate.
Yeah, oh, mate, they're not going to have a fun year, I don't think. Their forwards are going to do plenty of work and plenty of, I think the biggest issue is that they're going to have to spend so much time running back to get into the line that just going to be puffed out.
Yeah, but they'll try hard. So I don't think I'll turn off Raiders games the way I turn off, you know, Tigers and Bulldogs game last year. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
at least like the Dragons and the Raiders, they'll put in.
That's true. Okay. So this is, I'm now getting to the Discord ones, guys. Shout out to the Discord. Austin from the Fantasy Amateurs set up a awesome Discord.
Oh, he's done an amazing job. Yeah.
Seriously, guys, get in there and kick the tires. He's got all sorts of things. He has every single like social media account from the team set up so that you can just read their socials, automatically download there. We got the round, like the game threads in there. So individual clubs you can talk about. We got our questions. So each week you want to leave us questions, you can put them there as well. It automatically tells you when our podcasts are out, all sorts of stuff, trade advice, punning tips. Yeah, go have a look. So anyway, so the only downside is that I can't always see the username. So if I don't call out your names, because I just see an R dot, dot, dot. So question one is, you can only take one of Harry Grant or Kalen Ponga. Who would you take? Belen.
Oh, that is so hard. I would go Grant just because the hooker options this year aren't amazing.
That's true. Nick, I think for you, who's your captain this week?
Mate, I'm captaining Ponga.
There you go.
Yes.
Until I get Cleary in. So he's my captain. Easiest schedule, guys, by far. And he looks the business. He's got the slim, shady hair. It's awesome.
Oh, I love it.
Yep.
I'm balls deep on that one.
I'm going Ponga as well because I think wing fullback is just so hard for me to cover. I've got the cheese and I've got Appy. Okay. Cam McKinnon. So Seb asked if Cam McKinnon's named at lock. Is he a must? Well, he is named at lock and he's interest of these guys here. Thoughts on Tommy Turbo's performance? We just mentioned there before is that it was great and he actually looked really good against a relatively tough Souths team. The question that we get, the next question from Sebastian asks is, he can get Burbo's points, but only if he brings in Seb Chris. Is it really worth it to try and grab that 50? Nick?
No, it's just round one. I wouldn't be chasing that to bring in Seb Chris personally.
Yeah, look, unless you're keen on a guy.
Get a tiger.
I like it. How about you, Valent? You'd say get a tiger?
I'd say get Seyfarth.
Yeah, that's probably makes a bit more sense there too.
Oh, wait, no, but he's got to put someone in the centres, he's saying. Okay.
Don't get Seyfarth.
Isn't it Olam? Yeah.
I'd just cop a strange score, to be honest. I'd just give that a go.
Yeah, I'd probably cop the strange score this week. Hayes asked, what's your advice for non-Haas owners? Well, I'm a Haas owner, so I don't have any advice for you. I just said, hey there, you should probably get him. I guess the thing is, look, he'll get it. It's not every week. The starting edge forward gets knocked out. So, you know, tries to tackle cheese the wrong way. And then their bench rotations get messed up. Just like what you say to non-Corey Jensen owners, right? He got a 50, but only because he played huge minutes. So I'd say, mate, just keep the faith in your process. Okay, here's a great question from Hayes. How long would you give to Benea? Nick?
I don't know, four or five weeks. I think a long-term, probably data on him to suggest that he's going to make money.
Mm. Oh, I like it. How about you, Blunt?
Well, the thing is, I think Physio put out a post today. I don't even think he's guaranteed for next week. So
yeah.
I'm not actually too sure what the actual injury is, but
minor groin ankle. Issue apparently.
Sorry, say again.
Minor groin issue. Wong was an ankle, but he's fine.
Yep.
And Tupanea was a little groin niggle.
Oh, I'll put it this way: if he's playing next week, I just hold him.
Yeah, I'm looking to hold to possibly round three, and then if Campbell comes back, I'll trade him then.
Yep.
Next. Hutch or Flano. Ollie from the UK says, and I'm saying it's Hutch and it's not even close, 50 grand.
Yep.
Fantasy Whisper said, hopefully Hands DPP. And I'm like, yeah, maybe, but probably not. Hands, like only Vlasic dies, literally. V dot 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 asks, New and Chris or Karaz and Keeney. I guess, look, the news that I've got is essentially someone hit up Jaden Campbell's Instagram and said, mate, for my fantasy squad, when are you back? And he said, round three, bro, should be sweet. So this is from the man himself, like in the DMs. So I've got Keeney as an avoid for me and for all of you out there. Any disagreement out there, guys?
Nope.
Excellent. So in that case, but we also don't want Chris. So, what are we doing here? New and Karaz and Bostock?
Yeah.
Yep.
You're going to get more than,
And New and Chris or, well, I'd get Karaz and Bostock or something. Disgusting Axe just asked a question. Is Max Splath the most overpriced player in fantasy? Two games, price 500K. Yeah, dude, they're stuffed up this year for the guys who only played a couple of games. It doesn't help.
Is Morgan Smithy's not more?
He's got really zero games. Though? Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Zero games, 520K. Same as Kai Pierce-Paul.
Oh, yeah, true.
That's why we're liking Kai Pierce-Paul off the bench, right, Nick? A few games get his price down.
Yep, yeah, yeah.
And that could also be
chuck a star on him, yeah.
And that's where I think that Joe Chan may be a trap, but we could end up with our good friend, Mr. Blore, off the bench this week, get his price down if he plays 25 minutes or so, which I would like. I'd appreciate that a lot.
Mm.
Okay, here we go. We finally get to the ranking. So the under 300K options, we've got Strange, Chan, Salmon, Kotrick, Hughes, and Levi. So Strange, Chan, Salmon, Potrick, Hughes, and Levi. Who's the best buy out of those? Do you reckon the best two, Berlin?
Oh, Salmon and Strange.
Yeah, it's pretty much the starters, right?
Yep.
It's like, I say, and then probably after that, what, Levi?
Yeah, Levi for sure.
Excellent. And I probably have Hughes just as like that middle cover, but Salmon, I guess it's because Salmon could lose his spot at some point, whereas Hughes is just a middle. I totally agree there. Nick, how much cash in the bank is too much from Stormith S?
I think like 250 probably. I think it's too much. But if you have anywhere around 1 to 150, I think it's pretty good.
Yeah, unless you got like some super plan, like you need 250 to get turbo in next week or something.
Mate, you don't get interest on it, so, you know.
That's true. I just meant that if you could get turbo with one trade and 250, that would be the only reason why I probably saved that much.
Yep.
Mel, a manly Monty is asking the question, any options to play Slusset Cairns? I think we've agreed go up to Appy or down to Levi by this point, or Robson is the other option there, up to Robson or Appy or down to Levi. Curtis asks, is Kenny too cheap not to take a risk on? Mate, you can take the risk, but he's got a round two buy, might be missing from round three or from the bench. Ollie from the UK asks, can we rank the top 5 to 10 cash cows? I think we did, which was Salmon, Strange, Levi, Hughes, and then it's Chan and Kotrick at your own risk. We're almost there, guys, if you're listening at home. Willie asks, Kraz and Flegler or Tessie and Hosking? These are all like Sophie's choices. It's like they're designed by AI to be like the worst, like one amazing guy along with a terrible choice. Belen, Kraz and Flegler or Tessie and Hosking?
What is the price discrepancy there? Can you not just do Hosking and Kraz?
Flegler's 513, Hosking's 584. That's 70K.
All right, so you can't afford it.
And 130K between Tessie and Kraz.
Nah, Hosking and Niu, probably for me.
Yeah, Nick?
Yeah, I'm with Belen on this one.
Yeah, look, and Flegler's got that early ugly buy, which I don't like there. Oh, but so does Tessie. And Hosking's got no, like, he might be 3 to 4 weeks and he's back on the bench or out. Like, he wasn't named in their stronger side. So if you absolutely...
I've just got this gut feeling with Hosking, he's going to do what he did last year and just keep playing forever. Do you remember that? Who
yeah,
was that?
Yeah, I do too. I have the exact same gut check that...
I think it was Liam Martin who was out.
Liam Martin had a busted hammy for like weeks and weeks and weeks. He just couldn't get it right. But yeah, you're right. He just, he knocked out Garner, didn't he?
Yep, he did.
Yeah. So I guess the difference is between locking out Luke Garner and locking out Whitehead, who's the current captain. That's the only hard part for me.
He's got like a calf tear or a calf sprain as well, doesn't he?
Yeah, that's why they're thinking 3 to 4.
MLS told me it's more 5 to 6.
Okay, well, there we go. Well,
a little bit of inside news. I'm not sure how accurate it is, but that's what he was saying. So
fair enough. Well, look, if 5 to 6 for Hosking, yes. Okay, Tessie and Hosking. Excellent. So team option one, start Ponga, and then you get 120K in the bank. Chan scoring in the 17. Option two is start Keeney and bring in Hosking with 300K in the kitty. Nick?
Yeah.
Is what we know. Tough. It's got to be start Ponga, right? Because Keeney...
I think so, yeah. I would.
You have to start Ponga if he's your captain.
But can you flick channel to someone, some of these other cheapies?
I try and do that. And the other option I'm looking at here, which is just awful, is that, like, imagine if you start Keeney with Kotrick as your cover, right? And then Kotrick gets cut for Hopewadi round two and suddenly you're like, no, actually, I have no one.
Yeah, exactly.
And no money because you're trying to sell both of them for like 400 grand. It's so ugly. I'd go with option one, go get Ponga, and then just find an option, get rid of Chan, get a different guy.
Well, couldn't you start like copper Bostock for 1 week and then keep Hosking, and then you got 300K in the kitty to...
That's true. Instead of Keeney, go get Bostock, I guess. Yep. Like Warbrick last year for all of us.
Yep. Maybe. I don't know.
Okay. That's from Duncan Bra. Okay. Now we got .. is asking Levi or Chan for the last reserve spot. So I'm just gut checking there, Levi, unless you know that Chan is playing. And you won't know, will you?
No, you won't.
Belen, who's currently on your side, Chan or Levi?
Levi is, yep, Levi.
Yeah. Nick?
I'm going to go Chan, and if he's not named, I will move him to a Bostock or something like that.
Excellent. I'm real tight on money, so I'm probably going to go Levi, and then I've got this last absolute nugget spot that I've got here. I'm just trying to work out at the moment because I probably have to go down to like a Villiam feeder, which I'm not loving there. So I think I'm going to end up going Levi just to keep my life a little bit safer. All right, last question, last one, which I think we got through over 100 questions tonight, when just we, you know, all loaned out. Levi and Hosking or Cotter and Flanagan. Ellen?
Oh, Levi and Hosking for me. Even though that probably means you've got four or five Raiders in your team. I didn't even think about Hosking before. So
as a Raider.
It is all right to have four or five Raiders. I don't know.
Well, that's true. Well, because we know that Hosking's a quality player. You're not risking much, right?
Is there a round where you could have Hosking, Rapana, Strange, Chotrick, and Levi? Because they're actually all probably buys.
Yeah. Look, and that's it. I think that...
You got to round 10 to work it out.
Yeah, exactly.
You do. I probably then start cutting in order like Chotrick early if you could, like if any other cheapies show up, and then you start feeling a little bit better. But certainly I feel like at least three of those, like Strange, Rapana, if he's doing well, and Hosking, you can certainly all have... And then everyone else is just like, get them out when you can, but start with them, sure.
Yep. I'll still go Hosking and Levi anyway.
Are they? Let me just check the last thing I really want to check is just that Raiders schedule. Just make sure they don't have that like absolute massacre run where like you could cop a thing. So the first six for these guys is actually pretty good. So it's Knights, Tigers, Warriors, which is away. It's at Apollo Project Stadium. I don't know where that is. Probably Mount Smart, I'm guessing. Then they got the Sharks, Eels, Titans. So that's all right. But then, but then round 7 to 9, Broncos at Suncorp, Sharks at home, and then Seagulls at Four Pines. So I would probably start to try and shift them by round 6, some of these cheapies if you can, like after that Titans game. All right, guys, we've made it through the end of a ton of questions. Blent, any final thoughts for you, mate?
I will be rejigging my team again after that little session for sure.
That's a great one, mate. I love it. Nick?
Yeah, I'm rethinking my life.
Isn't it funny once you get other people's thoughts and you realize that there are other options out there, right?
Yeah, it's just so tough, you know. This split round, like, I don't know about you guys, but I locked myself into four bloody Roosters and they all bloody... Well, I mean, Smith did well, like cheese, but the other three were duds, so...
Oh, Wong did all right for his 44, but yeah, Tupanua, and then, yeah, you got Lenu, who might be missing for 1,000 years, dude.
No.
Well, that's a straight swap to Seafast. So I'm not... I just wish I could just get out of that, you know? Like, just go back in time. Anyway.
That's true. I guess the good thing that we're learning about this year is the actual impact of this split round, because we're going to have to live with it for 5 years. So I think that we're going to see like the heart attack rate in the fantasy community spike sort of in that February timeframe as everyone's staying up late nights trying to friggin' not make sure that this year doesn't happen again. All right. Well, Luke, that final thought of the impending demise of half of the fantasy community due to heart attacks over split rounds. This is the Boom or Bust and NRL Fantasy Amateurs joint venture podcast signing out.
Thanks for listening today, and I hope you enjoyed our collaboration. Please make sure to subscribe to the podcast and check out Facebook pages for more info.